Welcome to Hype episode 30. Marima, Josh, Kyle, and I are here this week. Hello, everybody.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
So we have a fun new spin on Hype this week. We're actually doing it on video thanks to Google Hangouts. So we can all see each other's faces. And we're going to start trying to put this on YouTube as well.
Yep.
So hopefully we still are at our normal game here. This doesn't throw us off too much, but we'll see. I'm always distracted by Marima's looks, but that's whether or not the camera's on.
I'm distracted by your looks, Andrew.
Thank you. So we're going to start off, as we normally do, with some movie news this week. First of all, a little bittersweet news, though nobody cry on camera. The Hunger Games series has officially finished filming. Producer Nina Jacobson tweeted a photo of what looks to be Jennifer Lawrence, Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth with her. Nina Jacobson is the producer. All like in a group hug, but all their heads are down, so you can't see for sure if it's them.
You only know it's Haymitch.
Oh yeah, Haymitch. You're right. But we see the blonde hair, but we can't see a face.
Oh, I assumed it was him. My bad.
Oh, I was assuming it was J Law.
Kind of looks like his.
Haymitch.
She would have brown hair.
I thought she was the one on the left. That looks like her hand, doesn't it?
Oh, me.
Don't know.
I don't want to act like I know what her hand looks like. But I've studied some pictures.
Oh, okay.
So they're all finished.
Cute.
Yeah, it's a cute photo. They're all finished filming now. Despite this, we still don't have any sort of release date for a trailer, so everything still seems up in the air concerning when promotional things are really going to get started with this. I mean, we're definitely due for a trailer now, so that's the weird part. I don't understand why they're waiting. They could have released it with a summer blockbuster right at the start of the summer, but now, you know, started the other day, but I don't know. Any predictions? What movie is the first trailer going to be attached to?
Ooh.
I don't know.
Something that comes along with something that's definitely going to be at Comic-Con. I don't know, like, something that's, I don't know. That.
After the last film was so big, I just feel like they don't even need, like, promotion. It's like, whatever. We don't need to spend all this money.
They don't? But, like, typically, you know, a trailer will be released around the
time.
Oh,
no, I know. I'm just joking about the fact that it made $1 billion. So they're like, oh, who cares?
Yeah. So that's what's going on.
That is weird. Yeah, you'd think we'd have a trailer by now.
Yeah.
But it is.
Do you think it might appear at Comic-Con?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they're waiting for Comic-Con.
Still a little while away.
Just for, like, a month.
They did do a big thing at Comic-Con last year, Catching Fire.
Yeah, you're right.
I think they debuted a trailer at Comic-Con, come to think of it. So that may be, but it's still a month away. I don't know if that was the first trailer either, was it?
No, I don't think it was the actual full trailer.
Yeah, I think it was just some footage, if I remember correctly.
Okay, so Nathan Fillion, best known for his work in the Firefly series, he is going to have a cameo in Guardians of the Galaxy, which comes out this August.
August 1st.
Yeah.
I'm personally not a Nathan Fillion fan, so can somebody explain the excitement around him? And
There's a rumor that he is going to be playing Malcolm Reynolds, or he'll be reprising the role of Malcolm Reynolds in a prison scene. And so that's huge, because he hasn't played that role in, like, years. So I think that's why everyone's like, oh, my God.
Yeah, everyone's just excited, because it's Nathan Fillion, and love Nathan Fillion. And I'm including myself in that category, so, like, no one get mad.
Guardians director James Gunn, he's a friend of Nathan's. So it's just kind of neat that he gives him, like, a cameo. Actually, he said Nathan did him a favor, you know, quote, unquote, by doing the cameo, so I thought it was interesting that he put it that way on Twitter.
Okay.
But it might have just been the way he chose the words, yeah.
He's also on Castle right now, which I believe is on Fox.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's
on ABC, bro.
See? Okay. I always get confused between those two. I can't keep that show straight.
ABC's so much better than Fox.
Oh. You just say that because of Once Upon a Time.
No, because of Scandal.
Fox. Well, Fox, yeah. They cancel a lot of stuff, too.
That's true. Yeah.
I can't contribute to this conversation.
Well, in related sci-fi news, I'm sure you'll like this one. Karen Gillan is interested in playing Spider-Girl.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
I know, as one commenter pointed out, this is something I never knew I needed until now.
Right.
I mean, I can see it, but, like, she just offhandedly mentioned it and was like, cool.
It was kind of a smaller story than it ended up being.
Yeah.
But
you didn't know Spider-Woman existed until someone was like, there's this person. Yeah. Yeah.
They kind of suggested Spider-Girl, and she was like, yeah, I want to be Spider-Girl. But everyone kind of pointed out she looks a lot like Mary Jane, you know, from the comics, which Shailene
I don't want her to be from. That would be bad.
But just the red hair and being beautiful.
Would you prefer her or Shailene Woodley?
Shailene Woodley.
Really?
Yeah.
As Mary Jane? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
In both.
I don't like either of them.
I wouldn't want her changing her accent, because that's one thing that I think is great about her, is just she's got a great accent, so that would be my one thing.
That's just your personal preference.
Well, I love, you know the British women. They've got mm-hmm.
I think Sony should actually run with the Spider-Girl idea, because Spider-Man hasn't been working out so great. Amazing Spider-Man 2, I think, has barely broken $200 million domestically, which is like way under what they had hoped for.
It made $700 total, but yeah, you're right. It's less than what they were hoping.
Yeah, well, $700 million worldwide in the U.S., it was $200 million.
Yeah.
What was I going to say about that? I forget something else I was going to say.
Which is less than the first one.
Oh, we
the
also...
The first one made $757 million. Sorry.
Okay. We also need a female superhero film right now. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
Guys.
Well, at least Hollywood did not make the same mistake of saying the same statement that Ubisoft did. Any non-video game people, Ubisoft... issued, like, it wasn't so much of a statement, but people were asking why there hasn't been a female assassin in Assassin's Creed, and they said that, I don't know the exact quote, but it's something along the lines that women are too hard to animate. And everyone just went bullshit. Like,
yeah.
Weird.
Crazy. Batshit. Insane.
Seems like a weird response.
They have horses that poop in
women.
Real time.
Yeah. It's like, we can't make women for some reason.
Yeah.
They're
so
not
in Hollywood's race. Not like, nope, not going to happen.
But I can't even deal with that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yes, I'm a fan of any plans to do like female superhero things. That would be great, because obviously at the moment it's like there are none and they're all dudes. So anyone, just Spider-Woman, Spider-Girl, don't care.
Well, we
have
Wonder Woman coming up and in the Batman v Superman.
Yeah,
but it's just like an appearance.
Right.
Well, they're saying it might be longer than we think, but
she
should be good.
Yeah, and if that turned into a Wonder Woman film, like, that would be amazing.
Yeah, I think we'll start seeing it. Jennifer Lawrence in Hunger Games has proved that they can make $1 billion with their movie. We need to see like half a dozen female superhero movies come out in the next like 10 years.
Do you think they would sign Jennifer Lawrence up or Shailene Woodley up for like a female superhero movie? Like, I feel like
if
I can
they
see
could.
The movie.
Well, they were talking. The producers of X-Men were talking about doing one with Mystique, and I'm sure that they would go with that if Jennifer wanted to do it. I just don't know if she'd want to get into another big, another franchise or starring franchise, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she would want to do that. I mean, look at other stars. Like Kristen Stewart in Twilight and Emma Watson.
They just burn out.
Yeah, once you go through the first one, I don't think you want to get another big series like that, because it just doesn't... You don't want the attachment, the multiple films, all the attention.
But, like, she's already in the franchise, so she could do a Mystique film. And
yeah.
That would be it. Like a one spin-off. That would be good.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black Widow should get her own movie.
Yes.
She was really good in the last
one. Please.
Yeah. Well, she's coming to Disneyland, which is random, but like Disneyland's going to be able to meet. You're going to be able to meet her now. They listened to my article. Yeah, they listened to my article.
No, that's good.
Sorry, you have to translate for the non-Disney aficionado.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, my bad.
You're like, Black Widow is going to Disneyland. What?
So we have the best visual. We have a little Star Wars news. The director of Looper and somebody who also directed a couple of Breaking Bad episodes, Rian Johnson, is going to be directing Star Wars Episode 8. At least that's how it seems right now. Disney has not made an official announcement yet, but Rian Johnson sort of confirmed it himself on his Twitter when the news first broke. He just linked to a YouTube video. Do you remember what the reference was, Josh?
The original? Oh, sorry. The reference to the YouTube video that he posted?
Yeah, what was the significance of it?
Oh, it was the Right Stuff. It's basically a film about whenever the people were trying to break the sound barrier. And so I don't know if it's just about him, like, you know, doing something crazy, you know, like breaking through, doing something crazy that he's never really done before, because he just hasn't really done a lot. A lot of people just don't know who he is, but he's done a lot of great stuff. And, like, you know, he's written a lot of Breaking Bad episodes and directed some. So he's a great director, and I think he's just, maybe it was like, I'm getting on the scene finally.
It's all Looper. It was a really great movie, so
yeah.
I think this is cool.
Looper's great. It just wasn't, like a massive film that everybody talked about.
The other interesting part, though, is that this means, obviously, J.J. Abrams is not directing Episode 8, which is kind of surprising. Some people thought that since he had Episode 7, since he's a big-name director, since he also carried Star Trek recently, that he would definitely at least be offered all three movies, Episode 7, 8, and 9. I mean, is this bad news for Episode 7, or does Disney just want to shake it up with every movie?
I think it's probably good news for the franchise. I think it's, like you, I'm surprised that Abrams isn't doing at least, like, two or three of them. I would have thought his contract would have been at least for a trilogy. But maybe they didn't intend on doing that. And maybe that because they want more films out each year, they can't do one director for three or four films. They just can't physically do it, you know. So as we saw with the Harry Potter franchise, people get either burned out or just can't do the work. And so I think it's a good thing, personally. But I think he's also a great director, great writer, and I think it said that he's also going to write the film after that as well. Not direct it, but write it.
Yeah. So like I said, Disney hasn't made an official statement on this yet.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
But it's... Yeah, maybe they're still hammering out their details. Right, so we'll see. But anyway, it's pretty cool.
I'm excited. Yep, he's good.
We mentioned Batman earlier and Wonder Woman coming into the series. Now we know, well, there's a new rumor that there's going to be a solo Batman movie starring, of course, Ben Affleck, who's going to be playing Batman in the upcoming Man of Steel sequel, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice. Possibly the longest title ever. No, this was a rumor that just kind of came out of nowhere. I don't know if it's true. I imagine it is because Ben Affleck's going to have a solo Batman film unless Batman vs. Superman just totally flops, which is probably unlikely. But... like I said, this is a rumor. It's 2019. I even made a joke in the article about him being like over 50 by the time they do it, but he won't be. I looked it up. He's only going to be like 46.
Only 46. Yeah.
Well, I was like, God, they string these out for so long. Like Robert Downey Jr. talked about it. He was like, how old am I going to be when I keep playing this comic book character? And he was like, you can only do these stunts and this stuff so long until you're just, you can't do it. And Batman is a really physical role, and we've seen how big Ben Affleck's gotten for this role. And hopefully he's able to deal with it for the next 5 years, because it's going to be 5 years, apparently, until we see him solo.
I know 2019's far away, but I don't think I'm ready for a solo Batman Ben Affleck movie. Like, I'm barely ready for this Superman one coming up in a couple of years.
I don't want Batman movie at all. Like, no thank you. I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think everyone's still, you know, Christian Bale did such a good job, and it's tough to follow that up with a solo film. And yeah, that's probably why they're doing this joint film, is they were like, why don't we try Ben Affleck with, you know, Superman that did fairly well with Man of Steel, and they'll see where they go after that. I imagine that's the plan.
Test the waters.
Yeah. I just worry about this Batman vs. Superman. It's just so many actors are in it now. I was just talking to Louis, you know, one of our other writers, and it was like, how are they going to even write this script? I mean, I know that they're already filming it, but it's like, what is this script going to look like, you know, by the end of it? Just everyone's in it. Jesse Eisenberg is Lex Luthor. It's just getting weird.
It's getting weirder by the day.
It is. It's like, how, you know, I'm like a fan of this stuff, and I'm getting weirded out by, like, all the people they're including. We keep hearing, like, new people are announced while they're filming.
Yeah. Right. And then, I mean, we still have Comic-Con coming up next month, and they could make more announcements then.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the new rumor that they're going to be announcing several Justice League movies at Comic-Con, which would be really ambitious. These guys I haven't even heard of before. Shazam? That's an apple.
Like Shaquille O'Neal? Like
Shazam is actually, I think it's Captain Marvel. Someone's going to. The name was changed recently, so they're probably just using that name instead of the old name. I'll look it up because someone's going to correct me anyway. So
Sandman, Justice League. Justice League would be huge. That would be DC's Avengers. Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, and then Man of Steel 2 finally in May 2018. This is the rumor, if you think, formally of Deadline. So we'll see you next month. I mean, Warner Brothers in DC would certainly blow everything out of the water if they were to actually announce this ambitious of a schedule. I mean,
it's nuts. I can't see them actually starting production on this many films without the success of Batman vs. Superman. I can't see it. It's so much of a risk. And I worry that they're like, we got to keep up with Marvel. And for people saying, like, I'm a Marvel fanatic, I'm actually a DC fan more than I am a Marvel fan. So I hope these films do well. But when you rush these things, they normally turn out like Green Lantern did whenever Ryan, what's his name?
Ryan Reynolds
did Green Lantern. So awful. I hope that they do announce a few, because I think that would be fun to speculate. But I just hope that they don't take too much on at one time, because that's always seems to not work, unless you're Marvel, because they just figured it out, you know.
Marvel knows what they're doing.
Well, they've been doing. People forget how long they've been doing that now. I mean, I think the first Iron Man came out in 2008. So they've been working on this franchise now for what. You know, since probably 2006 is probably when they started the production, and they did the Incredible Hulk before that. So people forget Marvel's been in this game for quite a long time of like managing multiple heroes in different films, solo films, and DC's always or Warner has always done one superhero at a time, either just Superman or just Batman. So we'll have to see how these turn out, but it will be exciting at Comic-Con, and I'm sure our coverage will be great.
Yeah. I mean, last year they made the big Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to every single nerd at Comic-Con.
Just
so.
Destroyed, like, everybody else's news.
Yeah, they kind of got to top that this year, and this may be the
only one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, in more important news, we have our first look at Christian Grey in 50 Shades of Grey. They actually did
did
this.
You say more important news?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would say.
So they released this photo on Christian's birthday, the fictional character's birthday, and technically it's the first frontal, you could say, look at the character. There was a poster release where we just saw his back, and he was looking out, standing in the office. You know, everybody got excited. But in this one, you know, you see him staring right into the camera. He's driving his car, and it's a nice photo.
He looks
so
terrible. He looks absolutely horrible.
Oh, really?
Yes. Wow. He you looks He looks aged like 10 years, easy. Without that scruff, man, he is not sexy at all.
He reminds me of Ewan McGregor for some reason. I don't know why. As soon as I saw him, I was like, "Is that a young Ewan McGregor?"
I could see that.
I see it. Yeah. No, but he looks so much better with scruff. He just looks so old in that photo.
He does. Yeah, that is true. He looks fine. Are you really that invested in his casting decision, Kyle?
Yeah.
No.
You worry about the script. Or anything else other than the picture.
I'm just worried about the visuals. Okay, that's what I'm
yeah.
I just couldn't help but think of Edward from Twilight because you always see him driving around in the car.
And, oh yeah, in his weird hatchback.
Sulking in a car.
Yeah.
Same look.
I'm just getting the Edward vibe.
Of course. I think the source material is related, right?
Yeah, very related. Even though in the story you probably wouldn't be able to tell, but
yeah.
In ruthless movie news, Anna Kendrick is going to star in a musical comedy based on the popular toy line Trolls. And when we say Trolls, we're talking about the ones with the pointy hair, kind of like mine actually, but a lot taller. Neon colored, but unlike me, they're ugly. So I don't
And their hair's pink.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like Kyle.
They're terrifying.
They're like Kyle last summer, man. Not
Kyle last summer.
Yeah, they're
terrifying. Right, Irma?
Yeah, sorry, I just clicked on the picture that was linked to, and it's really scary. Why would you give these to
you not have those?
You've never seen those?
Oh, my God.
Like,
I had
vaguely, I guess they're not big here. I don't know. Sorry, guys.
They were big in the 90s, I think.
Yeah, they were huge. I had a couple, I think.
I might have had a few. Yeah. I wouldn't admit to that.
I don't think I mentioned it's going to be an animated movie, so...
Oh.
Whoa, thank God for that.
Yeah, that's
imagine if it wasn't.
Better necessary, but I'm just saying, just don't picture Anna Kendrick like with that wild troll hair, because that's not what we're going to be saying.
Oh, that would be hysterical. That would be amazing. She'd be like I've the Katy Perry of movies.
She's like the best at interviews. I've been watching all her interviews.
Yeah, she's like the J-Law. She's like the J-Law who wasn't wildly popular yet.
Yeah, yeah, and then you actually still like her because you're not sick of her.
Yeah.
No offense, J-Law.
Correction. Anna Kendrick is wildly popular, just not J-Law franchise level.
Exactly. Yeah. Not like plastered everywhere.
Right. She's your average girl. That's what makes her so attractive.
Well, she's just actually funny. You know what I mean? She's not putting on like a thing. It's just she's actually funny, and I think people can see that.
So I mean, we know she has the pipes to do it.
Yeah.
Do a musical because of Pitch Perfect, which Pitch Perfect 2. She's currently filming now, so best of luck to her, I guess.
Is she like doing anything that's not a musical right now?
Oh no! Well, yeah,
because she's doing Into the Woods and Last 5 Years. She's doing.
Hmm. And wasn't she in Cinderella or something?
No, she's Cinderella in Into the Woods.
Oh, right.
I believe.
I wonder why she chose this route, or do you think she just kind of fell into it? Because she was doing like a lot of. She was in 50-50 with Seth Rogen and what's his name, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. And it just seems like she's taking this turn. It's like all musical stuff.
Yeah, she's getting.
But I don't even know. Like, I feel like she's getting typecast when she's a great actress.
Well, maybe she didn't have the opportunity to do it until she did Pitch Perfect, and then suddenly, she has a chance to do these roles, and she wants to, so that's fine.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe they're like, oh, there's a good actor who can actually sing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doors are surely open to her more and more.
Hmm.
Some interesting news, and this was kind of bound to happen, because we haven't heard much about this project for a while. Guillermo del Toro.
I can't say it either. I can't say that.
He's going to be starring Emma Watson. This was his project, and part of the reason why Emma signed on was because he was directing it. So this project just seems dead in the water now. I mean, I don't know how this can continue. I can't see it happening.
Maybe Peter Jackson will take over.
I knew this was coming.
Too easy.
It's like, what is he doing? You know, I mean, I know that the two projects are very similar in the fact that they both got delayed, they both had trouble getting off the ground, and he's had to move on. And people are really giving him hell about it, but it's like, if a company can't get the production started, a director has a schedule that he's committed to a lot of times with other contracts. And I don't really want to defend him because, you know, I don't know. I kind of feel the same way too, but I understand it. You know, he's probably has contracts with other studios right now that he's working on films, so got to move on. Just right. Sad that we probably won't get this. Like you said, I doubt that Emma stays now that he's gone, and that'll probably kill a film.
Yeah. Was this meant to be a musical as well?
No.
Okay, good.
That's the third one with Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she could be Belle. I could see Anna Kendrick.
I could see her.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I could see her be a sassy Belle. But that'd be great.
We have this Beauty and the Beast directed by Bill Condon, the Breaking Dawn director.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, if you want to have a crackpot theory, you could say that Disney paid off Guillermo to, you know,
just drop out. Hey, just drop out.
So, I mean, how many live action Beauty and the Beast do we need? This is ridiculous. Yeah.
Plus, there's the TV show on CW.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like everyone tries to do the same thing. Just keeps happening in the last few years.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out. It's always like within a few months of each other.
Yeah. What was the last one with Beast? Two films that came out?
There's Beast with...
Oh, no, this was like... I can't remember. It was another like Cinderella or whatever, but not Cinderella. It was another...
Snow White?
There's the funny one, and then there's the dark one.
Yeah, then they started like promoting this other one, like totally different, because they were like, "Oh, we don't want it to look like that one."
It hurts. It must hurt because you don't know. Viewers don't know which one to see and why they should see one over the other.
Oh, they think it's the same movie.
Yeah,
exactly. Like I did when I was writing this article. I was like, Andrew was like, "Oh yeah, this is not the right." He's like, "This is not the right movie," and I was like, "What are you talking about?" Like,
and we all have to keep using those same Beauty and the Beast pictures from the Disney animated movie
because there's nothing else. Yeah.
Oh, everybody's gonna be so disappointed. They're gonna be like, "I thought Beast looked like he did, and was gonna look like he did in the animated."
You guys are liars.
That's why it shouldn't work anyway, by the way. There's no way they can recreate Beast and make him not just be, like, creepy and, like, I know that's...
Total pedo.
Yeah.
Like, I think Marima talked about this last time. It's just, like, not a character that you can do.
That sounds like something I would say.
Oh, did you not say that? My fault.
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay, so on to some TV news now. While we're talking Disney and crazy
adaptations
and whatnot.
Oh, no.
So there's this new Disney Channel original movie, which we've probably talked about before. It's called The Descendants. It's an interesting concept. It's about it focuses on the Disney villains' offspring, but it also involves the villains themselves, for example, Maleficent. But then, like, her daughter, Maul, and then Jafar's son, and Cruella De Vil's son, and one other character, one who's not as well-known as those three that I just mentioned. But anyway, we've been getting our first looks at these characters, because they're filming now. It's going to be released next year. And we've now played by Kristen Chenoweth. And the kids...
Okay.
And the kids... the top comment on Hypeable said it best a couple weeks ago. It said, "Holy hot topic." And I mean, the costumes look like they're
so bad timing because Angelina Jolie looked so good as Maleficent.
So the costumes just look like they're out of the 90s. They're ratty. They're just
they don't fit right.
Going for, but it just doesn't.
Disney Channel shows just suck now. They all suck. They're all terrible and not relatable at all, like, at all.
But this one's a musical, right?
It's part of the problem, Kyle, that we're growing up and we're no longer connect with these shows.
I'm sorry, I don't... delayed.
Oh, is the problem that we can no longer connect with these Disney shows?
Yes, I feel like just that, like, I was almost going to write an article about it. It was just these articles are so, have situations that are so out of this world that, like, kids don't know how to relate to it. Like, granted, when like, I was watching Disney Channel as a kid, it was like, That's So Raven and, like, Smart Kid, and it was, like, this smart kid who went to high school. And That's So Raven was about this girl with, like, psychic abilities, but, like, even every single thing that Raven would get herself into was, like, actually, like, plausible and, like, more believable in a way than what these things have. Like, I went to the Disney Channel website when I was thinking of writing the article, and they have a show about, like, a talking dog that follows them, and then they have a show about this rich family that hires this babysitter. And I'm like, all these people are so unrelatable to the majority of people watching television.
Right. Sorry, wait. So your problem is a show about Maleficent's daughter is not relatable enough?
No, like,
Were you expecting it to be?
No, I wasn't expecting that to be relatable at all. But just, like, even, like, their wardrobe, like, just the way that they dress up these kids, like, even, like, with That's a Raven, they dressed up in normal, like, early 2000s clothes. They didn't have, like, high-end product that, like, every kid on Disney Channel wears these days. So it's like, even if you're going to do a ridiculous show with a ridiculous setting, at least make it somewhat relatable to the people watching. Like, yeah.
No, but, well, it is relatable. It's, you can buy it all at Hot Topic.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but the thing is, with the whole Disney villains one, like, it's, like, so off base. It's like Pushing Daisies. It's so off base that it's not supposed to be relatable. So that makes sense. But it still looks like crap.
I agree. But, I mean, since it is a movie, it's not a TV series, so I guess it'll be fun to watch one night on a Friday night with your friends. We'll see.
Yeah.
At the worst, it'll be fun to live tweet.
Oh, yeah.
And there'll definitely be a drinking game, so look on the bright side.
I can start live tweeting with GIFs. It's going to be amazing.
Finish your drink if you feel tempted to pre-order Jafar's sons' right. So a little Netflix news. I thought this was interesting. Chelsea Handler has signed Netflix for the streaming service's first talk show. She's going to bring a new version of her talk show, I guess, or an entirely new thing, to Netflix. It won't be premiering until 2016. But this is, like I said, it's the first time that Netflix is going to be doing a talk show, so it'll be interesting to see how they do it. I mean, is it going to be weekly? Are they going to release 20 episodes at once like they do all their other original shows?
That would be so weird.
That would be so bizarre.
But why wouldn't they do that? You know what I mean? Because that's what they do for everything. That's
true. Yeah, but then at that point, it's just like a whole bunch of, like, little
movies. I agree. That's entirely strange, but maybe they won't. Maybe they'll start. Maybe this is the beginning of episode a week. You know, what we've been hoping for.
Nobody wants to binge watch Chelsea Handler, so
no.
I don't want to watch.
Don't even binge watch House of Cards.
Yeah.
You just have to.
Yeah. Yeah. You're.
Oh, perfect. I wanted to binge watch it.
You always feel guilty afterwards. You're like, I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. I'm thinking about Orange Is the New Black right now.
I still haven't watched that. I still need to get on that.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Gotta get on it. And then to wrap up our TV news, there's two other interesting return of classic shows, something like that. Netflix is bringing back The Magic School Bus as a reboot. This is going to be premiering, in 2016, just like Chelsea Handler's show. It's going to be called The Magic School Bus 360 Degrees. It looks like all the original characters are going to be back, including Miss Frizzle, the bus driver. And,
her name was Miss Frizzle? Nice.
Frizzle, yeah. People really were excited about this news. I mean, this was a very popular article on Hypeable and on Facebook. It's just people loved the Magic School Bus back in the day.
Nostalgia.
Exactly.
Nostalgia is really what's, like, going on right now. Everyone is bringing something back that brings nostalgia. Like, that's the fad at the moment.
Yeah.
Like, specifically with, like, these 90s kids too, like all these adults who are turning into like 25 something to 30 somethings, like that's who they're trying to hit now, it seems.
I'm one of those people, and I'm not going to watch the Magic School Bus reboot.
But it's one of those
that...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, well, don't you think that they're maybe marketing it at, like, the kids of people who are watching it now?
I guess.
You know, like, you watched it when you're little, you're like, oh, it's fun, it's educational, I would love my kids to watch a show like that.
Nickelodeon is specifically marketing the 90s kids because they're putting on, like, Rugrats and Hey Arnold and, like, Kenan and Kel at, like, midnight and on. And they have 90s commercials with them. Yeah, it's huge. It's a huge
hit. That's weird.
I just watched, like, Rugrats and, like, CatDog for the first time in years.
Oh, so it's you.
Dude.
Oh,
they're marketing it at you.
It's so good. It's so good.
I want to see them bring back CatDog. I hope.
CatDog is great. Like,
CatDog is amazing. The Beavers show? That was a good one.
Oh, Angry Beavers.
Angry Beavers.
It was amazing.
Yes.
Oh.
I was a big fan of the Magic School Bus, so I'm not going to watch it, but this is exciting.
Yeah, I guess I forget to look at things like in another light, you know, or in another eyes.
Everything on 90s Nick was fantastic, but it's because like we sort of miss it. Would we enjoy it as much as we're watching it right now?
I watched Rugrats and CatDog like two nights ago, and I loved it, so... I mean, like, the things that Tommy Pickles pulls out of his diaper are ridiculous, so it's hysterical just from that.
That just sounds so bad after
And one more reboot story. The Teletubbies are coming back as well. The BBC has ordered 60 new episodes of the Teletubbies. I'm actually excited for this, too, because, weirdly, I used to watch this show with my brother, who's younger than me, so I would, you know, watch it with him because it was for his age.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
For sure. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Inky.
I must have jumped right past those.
What, Josh?
I said I must have jumped like right over that show because I just don't remember watching it, but I remember how crazy they looked.
Yeah, they were a pop culture phenomenon.
Yeah.
This was the dumbest show on TV. it was so bad. It was the worst.
Two other things to talk about on the calendar before we wrap up the show today. I know it's a bit of a shorter show than normal, but we're kind of practicing with this video setup. So, first of all, I wanted to mention the Harry Potter Wizarding World expansion. Diagon Alley is opening July 8th. I was... the person to hate on Hypebol this week.
Yep. Yeah. Basically.
Everybody was a little honest.
I wasn't. I loved all the HD pictures, man. They were awesome. It was like
those are fantastic. What kind of camera did you have, man? That was awesome.
That was my brother's camera. See, this is why I watched Teletubbies with him, so I could earn some
steal his camera.
Yeah, steal his
camera. It looked amazing.
Did you bring your brother with you or you just stole his camera?
I just stole his camera.
No, I asked him for
permission. He was at home watching Teletubbies. So.
Right, exactly. It was a Nikon D3100.
Oh, nice.
It was so arty.
It was.
What? It was so arty.
Oh, thank you. Well, see, I like to think I have an eye for photography. I'd like to think
mm-hmm.
That whole land is just picture perfect, so it's hard to take a bad
picture. The detail was just like, I was just blown away.
The detail.
I didn't even message you about it. I was like, this is just nuts, man.
Yeah, yeah. So they did a really good job at the park. It opens July 8th. But I wouldn't go until like here because it's just going to be so crowded.
Don't go. Just wait.
Is it just as thin as like...
No, they widened it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It is a little more crowd-friendly. For example, there's just more places to walk because it's not just that one street. The walkways are a little wider in some areas. There's like a new area off of the main Diagon Alley Street that it's just a wide open area that's shaded. It'll just be really nice for people who want to get who don't want to be like packed in with people. There's also Nocturne Alley, which is indoors. And completely dark and cold. So like, it's like camping out in there like all day while their kids are playing in the heat.
Yeah, you were saying it had a lot more shade and a lot, like, the lines were covered a lot more, and so they were probably, you know, made a little bit better plans this time.
Yeah, I think they took the feedback to heart about Wizarding or about Hogsmeade and improved.
The third reverb.
Another thing is that, the Gringotts Bank Thrill Ride is not as intense as Forbidden Journey, and I was actually just thinking today, maybe they did that because they got a lot of feedback about Forbidden Journey saying that it was too intense for kids.
Oh, it wasn't too intense, whatever.
Those kids need to grow up.
Those kids need to just
stop crying.
Yeah, stop being pansy.
No, but I mean, really, it was intense. I can be sensitive to rides, and like at Forbidden Journey, at one point, it kind of throws you backwards and throws you all over the place.
Yeah, but it's the best. You know,
Gringotts is still a lot of fun, so I wouldn't take it as a negative necessarily.
Was there a lot of new footage that they? Was there a lot of new video stuff, like interactive stuff?
Like in the land on a whole?
No, just like. In the ride, was there any sort of, like, interactive video stuff like there was in the... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. There is more of that.
There is
and
more.
Improved this time around, I
think. Oh, good. Mm-hmm.
Sweet.
And then one other thing to talk about on the calendar here, The Legend of Korra Season 3. Does anybody here watch it?
No.
Sadly, no.
Okay. Well, we have...
It's incredibly popular.
Yeah.
We're the only four people in the world.
So, interestingly, they announced the release date, the premiere date, like a week before it's actually premiering. Nickelodeon announced that it's going to be premiering this Friday, June 27th at 7 p.m. on Nick. I see McCall decided to use 3 exclamation points at the end of the release. Her style guide.
I actually removed 2 of them from the title, so she had 3 of them there.
Understandable.
In the headline?
Yeah, in the headline. I was like, I'll take 2 of those away.
She was excited. It's all right.
Legend of Korra 3!
I get excited too, but I restrain myself on the exclamation point. That's funny. I'll have to bring that up to her. So, it's premiering this Friday, June 27th. And
didn't, like, a bunch of the episodes leak, like, last week or the week before last?
That's why I'm thinking that they're pushing this release date.
That's what I thought. I was like, they just lost like half their season, and so they're just pushing this up, you know.
Mm-hmm. That would make the most sense. So.
Because it's very strange to announce something and then release it, you know, within a week, unless you're Apple.
That never happens. Unless you're Apple, right?
Yeah.
So, all right, well, I think that is Hype Episode 30. Thank you for, we'll see how the audio turned out on this recording. Thank you, everybody, for bearing with us. I think we're going to try to do video more often and put it on YouTube because we want to reach out to people through Google's video service, which is, like, the second most popular search engine on the Internet behind Google. So I thought this would be a good way to do it. So thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Josh Neely.
I'm Tara Kyle.
And I'm Marima White.
See everybody next time for episode 31, where Marima will actually be here in studio. Maybe Kyle will come up too.
Maybe I'll fly out. Maybe just fly me out.
No, Josh, you're not invited.
Next time.
Oh, man.
Bye, everyone.